In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is Pentecost Sunday, and it is a very beautiful feast because it reminds us, especially those of us who have received the sacrament of confirmation, it reminds us that we have the Holy Ghost dwelling within us. We have been transformed. As we've studied our catechism, we know that we, through the sacrament of confirmation, are made to be soldiers of Christ. We have the grace by this sacrament to stand forth and defend our faith at all cost, even to the point of being ready to lay down our lives in defense of the faith. And I think this is something that needs to be reiterated very often. We need to remind ourselves during our lives that we are soldiers of Christ, that we have given ourselves to God. And when the world attacks God, when the world attacks the faith, it is our duty, it is our obligation to stand up and say, this is not right. We must condemn the evil, even if it means that we will be laughed at, even if it means we will be ridiculed, persecuted, ostracized, if our friends will leave us, and yes, even if it means they will kill us. We must stand up and defend the faith. And I think that somehow we've decided that the faith is no longer so important. Our vows, our promise to be this soldier of Christ, to exercise the grace that we have received, has somehow fallen by the wayside. And I think it is time that we renew that spirit. We renew that enthusiasm. We are soldiers of Christ. And we must be either with Him or against Him. There's no middle ground. Our Lord says, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. It is time for us to be ready to stand up and be counted for Christ, that we must stand up and be counted as Catholics. We must not be ashamed or afraid to bless ourselves in public, to bow our heads at the name of Jesus Christ. We must not be ashamed to call out to the Blessed Mother in our time of need and temptation and trials. But most of all, when the faith is attacked, we must be ready to stand up and defend her, to defend God. Not because God needs defending, not because our faith needs defending, because God really, He doesn't need us. We must stand up and defend our faith for our own salvation and for the salvation of our neighbor. We must be ready to become an enemy to our neighbor simply because we love him. And it sounds contradictory to our pacifistic, worldly nature, but it is true. We must love our neighbor to the extent that we are willing for him to hate us, to persecute us because we love him. If we really love our neighbor, we will do all in our power, all that is possible for us to do, so that he will not offend God, so that our neighbor will return to the right path and make progress towards eternal happiness. And thus, when we hear our neighbor use our Lord's name in vain, that is the moment for us to stir up the grace that we received in the sacrament of confirmation. That is the decisive moment. Are you with Christ or against Him? This person, even though you may call him your friend, is not your friend at this moment. Because this person has become an enemy of God. And if you really love him, that is, if you are truly concerned for his eternal salvation, you will stand up and say, "No, please do not do this. This is an offense against God. This is an offense against me. Because I love God. And this is an offense against your own immortal soul." And you can laugh at me if you like. You can think it is nothing if you like. But you cannot call yourself my friend if you will insult my God. I will no longer associate with you. I can have no part with you. Because the path that you have chosen is the path to hell, and I want no part of that. And if for no other reason, if you esteem my friendship as of any value, you will denounce that part of damnation that you have chosen. That is the power that the Holy Ghost gives us. That is the grace that He has instilled in our hearts and our souls when we receive confirmation. And I say, it is time. This Pentecost Sunday, it is time for us to rekindle that flame, to rekindle that courage. That idea that we have been made soldiers of Christ. We are soldiers commissioned by God to defend His honor, His glory, His reputation. And a soldier, a civilian soldier maybe? I can't think of the right term I want to use here. A secular soldier, a military soldier, in the defense of his society, of his country, of his government. He is bound by his honor, by his vows, to defend the faith, not the faith, but the military, the government. His country, his fellow citizens. And when he sees them being attacked, whether they're foreigners or domestic, he has made a vow to come to their defense, to defend his country, to defend this flag, this society, this government. And he is duty bound to do so. Otherwise, his vows mean nothing. His reputation is nothing. He is considered a traitor when he fails. He should be discharged. Tried for treason because he has failed in his duties, in his obligation. And tragically, most who call themselves Christians should be tried for treason against God, for they have received the gifts that they've needed. They've received the commission. They've made the promises. But yet, time after time, they have failed. They have turned their backs upon God. They have sat by silently as God is mocked, is ridiculed. And they've done nothing. And there is a principle in law that silence gives consent. And as often as we remain silent in the face of these evils, we have given consent. And therefore we are just as guilty. We are just as culpable. And on the day of judgment, our Lord will send us to hell and He will say, "Because you did not feed me when I was hungry. Because you did not shelter me when I was shelterless. Because you did not clothe me when I was naked. Because you did not defend me when I was attacked." And we will say, "But Lord, when did we see you under attack? Lord, when did we see you hungry? Lord, when did you see these things? You did not do it to the least of my brethren. You have not done it to me." You did not defend me when I was under attack, verbally. When I was under attack by the society in which you lived, you thought more of getting along with the society, with your companions, of having a good time than defending me. And thus, you have chosen your side. You have become an accomplice with the evil because you were a coward. You were afraid. And you were afraid because you valued your life. You valued your apparent friendship. You valued your associations more than you valued my honor and glory, which you vowed to protect. What a frightening thing. We are afraid to defend Christ here and now. And Christ says, "If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my heavenly Father." It is time. Time for us to renew that grace and to stand up for what Christ has given us. To stand up for our faith. Even if it means that we must be standing alone. Even if it means our friends, our neighbors, our relatives all abandon us, look upon us as a fool. It means that we must stand with Christ. We must consider it an honor to be despised by this world that despised Christ, to be persecuted by this world that persecutes Christ. Let us pray that the Holy Ghost will ignite or reignite that grace that we received when we ourselves were confirmed. Let us pray for Eli when he receives this grace, this sacrament, that this flame will never dwindle within his heart, but on the contrary, will grow much brighter, much warmer, much stronger, day by day. Let this grace be His, but let it also be ours. It is always nice and convenient to point to someone else and let them do it. But God isn't calling for someone else to do it. He's calling upon us, each one of us. Take up your cross daily and come follow me. Only in this will you find rest for your soul. Only in cooperating with this grace will you find that peace, that happiness, that contentment that you're looking for. No one else in the world can give it to you. I've spoken to you so many times about the pursuit of happiness. Throughout history, mankind has been in pursuit of this perfect happiness. This happiness that nothing can destroy, that can never be taken away. And over we make the same mistake of looking for this happiness in things that must pass away. In things that are going to die, that are going to rust away. In people, and all of these places, in ideas, in study. St. Augustine went through all of this and he comes to the conclusion that happiness is not to be found in any of them. All of them leave him wanting something more. And we are fools if we have to go and try and learn the same thing over again. It's already been told to us what we can expect. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. In the first pages of the Confessions of St. Augustine, you have it all right there. Our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in Thee. Your heart is constantly going to be restless. You're always going to be unhappy. You're always going to be finding difficulties until you can learn to overcome them by seeking your happiness only in God. Then you will find rest for your soul. Your body will more than likely still suffer all the evil consequences in this world, but it will not affect your soul. A soul that is at peace with God. A soul that is burning with the love for God. Nothing else will matter. And then you will find that happiness, that peace that Christ has promised to us even here on earth. It is a peace of conscience, a peace of soul. Even if you are reduced like Job to sitting on a dung heap with absolutely nothing, you will still be able to smile. You will still be grateful. You will still find a rest, a peace of conscience and soul. As you say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.